We may now turn, as the Lord would be pleased to help us, to the chapter of his word that we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 9. We may read again from verse 25. The Gospel of John, chapter 9, and at verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, and now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he at thine eyes? And there is no hesitation in taking the passage before us here to be intended to be symbolic of the spiritual parallel to the opening of the eyes of the body in the opening of the eyes of the soul. For the Savior himself made such a use of the passage when at the end of the chapter and addressing the Pharisees, he says that he was come for judgment. He said, I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Where the Savior is clearly speaking of something other than the natural blindness of the eyes of men, and is indeed speaking of the spiritual blindness and the spiritual seeing which he has power to give to the blind. And the fact of his opening the eyes of the naturally blind was no doubt part of the superabounding and overflowing grace of God that accompanied the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on this earth, not only showing love and kindness to the souls of men, but showing love and kindness to the very bodies of men, and overturning at times the effects of sin as they are found in the bodies of men as well as in the souls of men. How sin has destroyed our race, body and soul. There would be no blindness were it not for sin. There would be no sickness. There would be no weakness. There would be no frailty were it not for sin. And the Savior here was therefore manifesting forth his kindness as the Savior who had come into the world and who had come into the world to make an end of sin and to bring in an everlasting righteousness. Now, with regard to the symbolic aspect of it, whereby the Savior is in these works of miraculous healing, shadowing forth the far greater spiritual miracles which he performs, signs and wonders done spiritually in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. With regard to that aspect, we may apply the experience here of the man who was born blind whereby he was saying, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Is it true of you today, with regard to the eyes of your soul, that you are able to say, "One thing I know, many things I do not know. Many things I am in darkness and confusion about in this matter of the eyes of my soul being opened. But one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." And we might consider the first aspect of this. "One thing I know," he said, "whereas I was blind." He knew that he was blind. We might secondly consider what it is that comes in between his saying, "I was blind, but now I see." And what comes in between is brought out by the question in the 25th verse, rather in the 26th verse, where the question is asked, "How opened he thine eyes?" Something must come in between a sinner saying, "Whereas I was blind, now I see." And what comes in between is this, the one who opened his eyes. We may consider that secondly. We might thirdly consider this new state into which he was brought, and however much he could say about how he was brought into it, he could say with certainty, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." And we may, in the first place then, consider something of this first matter, whereby he says, "One thing I know, I was blind." And he had no doubt about the reality of his blindness, although he had never seen the light. He was born blind. Yet he knew that he was blind, and he knew something of the misery that had brought him into. And it was no doubt because he was blind that he was a beggar. And we gather that the way he was blind affected him. Was it Cowper who said, light is half of life, and therefore to be blind is to be half dead? And so in a natural sense, he clearly had no doubt as to his blindness, and could remember and recall something of that even now. Though he can say that his eyes had been opened, he has not forgotten what he was originally, till his very last day, as it were, on earth, when his eyes would be open, he could look back and say, "I will not forget what I was. One thing I know, I was blind." And so spiritually, is it not true of you who have a hope that your eyes have been opened spiritually, that you can recall and you can speak about this? You do not forget what was true of you by nature with regard to the, with regard to your soul. You can say too, "Whereas I was blind, one thing I know, it came to be a reality with me, that I was blind." And the blindness of the soul relates to the faculty of the understanding. We read of the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. There is such a thing as the eyes of the understanding then, and the eyes of the understanding of the natural man are blinded. We read of that because of the wicked, how in his own blinded eye he flatters himself. He is blind to his sin. You were blind. I once was blind. You were blind to all that was spiritual. You were blind to sin. You were blind to your danger. Was that not what McCheyne was saying? I knew not my danger. I felt not my load. The darkness was there. The danger was there. I felt it not. I was blind to it. I was not aware of the world around me, as a blind man naturally might form some impression of the world around, but cannot see it, cannot perceive it. So it is spiritually with man by nature, and those who are able to say, "Now I see," are able also to say something about this. One thing I know, whereas I was blind in spiritual blindness. We may distinguish spiritual ignorance from spiritual blindness in a certain way. If one has had knowledge of the truth, it might not be true to say that you are spiritually ignorant compared with others who have no instruction, who have no Bible, who do not know the things of God as you know them. But however full your head might be of the knowledge of Scripture and of the doctrines of the faith, you are spiritually blind in this sense that you cannot see. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You cannot see the beauty. You cannot see the spiritual glory belonging to these things. They are hidden from you. The eyes of your understanding are darkened. As we read of them, they see no beauty in Christ that they should desire him. And when you would consider the blindness that belonged to you, if your eyes are opened, and if your eyes were not open, friend, you were in that blindness tonight. And is this not part of it? You see no beauty in Christ that you should desire him. You are blind to his beauty, blind to his glory, blind to his suitability, blind to what others see in him that makes them to find him altogether desirable. There were others, and they were able to say, this is my friend and this is my beloved. He is the chiefest among 10,000. He is altogether lovely. And others were saying, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? We are not seeing in Christ what you are seeing in him. And is that not true of you, who have a hope that you can say, now I see? You have to confess, one thing I know, I was blind with regard to Christ, blind. Moreover, we say, with regard to the way of salvation, although you might have known it intellectually, when the Lord awakened you to a concern about your soul, and you began to desire to find the way of salvation, was it not a question that had to be asked, as the Philippian jailer asked it? What must I do to be saved? Did you not find yourself ignorant of God? Did you not find yourself ignorant of the way of salvation? You did not know the way, and therefore you discovered that you were blind. When you would think of God and contemplate God, what ignorance, what darkness you felt. Is it not true of you that you would join now looking back, and you would say, so rude was I and ignorant, and in thy sight a beast. I had not the knowledge of the holy. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not attained unto the knowledge of a man. When I did not know the way of salvation, without God, without the knowledge of God, without the knowledge of the way to the Father, without the knowledge of the Father's will for salvation, ignorant, blind. Once I was blind, and when the Lord will bring a sinner to have his eyes opened, it is his common way to bring that sinner to feel his blindness, to feel his ignorance. Is the Savior not drawing the attention of the woman of Samaria to that? When he said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If thou knewest, you know it not, you do not know the gift of God, you are blind. You are blind to the preciousness of the water of life. You are blind to the preciousness of Christ. You know not, you do not understand. In darkness you walk on in the ways of sin, flattering yourself in your own blinded eye. And did he not teach just the same thing to Nicodemus, though so different from the woman of Samaria, morally upright, a teacher in Israel, with the knowledge of Scripture in his head? Knowest thou not these things, said Christ to him? Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? You are ignorant, Nicodemus, of the way of salvation, though you are a teacher in Israel, though you know the Scriptures with the knowledge that is in your intellect, yet you are ignorant. He will show you your ignorance. And in that, he is opening up the way for this, that you would be feeling your need of one who would open your eyes. What must I do to be saved? Seeking light, as the psalmist was seeking it when he was praying, show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me. Is that not a prayer suitable for you, sinner, who might be tonight considering something of the danger that you are in on account of sin? Are you here today, young friend, and beginning to think about these matters of the salvation of your soul and discovering this, how ignorant you are, how blind you are? You do not know the way, you do not understand the way of salvation, you don't know what it is to believe, you don't know what it is to repent, how much darkness and confusion there is within you. Can you not go to him and say, as the psalmist did, show me thy ways, O Lord, thy paths, O teach thou me, to go to the great prophet of the church who is able to teach and is able to have compassion on them that are ignorant and are out of the way, who is well able to teach, who is well able to instruct, who can teach, who can show, and as we are to come to see, can open the eyes of the blind. Well, this much is true. If ever your eyes were open, you came to know your blindness. Yes, in your darkness, not just in the sense of blindness, but in the evil of sin, the holy state of sin and misery in which you are, in which you were, which is a state of darkness. Are you feeling the darkness? The blind, truly blind, it is said, cannot even see the darkness. Are you feeling the darkness? I once was blind, beginning to feel the darkness of the sin that is within. Yes, in the darkness of sorrow and of condemnation at which you are under. We read of those who dwelt in a gospel land, who dwelt in Galilee. And when the Savior went to be among them, it was said that a great light was sprang up. Those that sat in darkness, those who sat in the region and in the shadow of death, A great light sprang up upon them, and that's where you are by nature. Tonight, if your eyes were never opened, you are in the region in the shadow of death. You have spiritual death within, and you're in the shadow of eternal death, the wrath, the condemnation of the holy God upon you. What darkness, what misery. Oh, friend, how dark this world is. A dark world of sin and misery. And those we are trying to see, who will come to see, now I see. Knew something of this. One thing I know, whereas I was blind. Do you agree with that? You learned your spiritual blindness. In that, you were learning your inability. You were learning your inability. Though you would begin to desire to be saved. Oh, friend, what spiritual troubles and difficulties in the way of attaining to that salvation. Learning your blindness, your need of being led and directed. Desiring to be saved, but unable to find the way, unable to come to Christ. I once was blind. Well, we come secondly to what came in between. Before we consider this, that he could say, now I see, something must come in between. What is it that comes in between a sinner saying, whereas I was blind, now I see? And the answer is, it is the light of the world. It is the light of the world. And that's what came in between if the question is asked as it was being asked of this man. How were thine eyes opened? You're saying and manifesting that you see. How was it? What account can you give? They were inquiring of him thrice. How did it come about? And that is a great question. If you are saying tonight you have a hope that your eyes were opened, can you give an account of it? How were thine eyes opened? Well, it was, in one view of it, this. The light of the world came. It began on Christ's side. It began, friend, on the side of the Saviour. Christ had designed the man who was born blind. Before ever the man who was born blind had any thought of Christ, he passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And who can tell the sight that Jesus has of sinners in their blindness, how he passes by them as he passed by the infant cast out in the field to the loathing of its person. He passes by and he looks, and the look is a look not of abhorrence, though his holy eye abhors sin, yet it is a look of compassion, a look of pity. None I pitied thee as thou art there in thy blood, perishing, sinner, no eye to pity, no arm to save, not washed from your sin, dying in your own blood. He passed by. So it is. How were your own eyes opened? Nothing less than this will do it. The light of the world coming, Christ coming in pity and compassion. He passed by and looked. He looked with a look of love. He passed by. He said, live. Yea, I said unto thee, live. He must speak the life. He must regenerate the soul. He performed the miracle here upon the man who was born blind, so that all the glory of this man being able to say, I once was blind, but now I see, is on account of Christ. It is to be attributed to him who came to him where he was. He passed by. Friend, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He is passing by. In the gospel, he is passing by. Passing by sinners tonight. Just as he passed by this man, and just as he passed by blind Bartimaeus, in a special way, we believe that is true. In the assemblies of Zion, of which he has said, "There am I in the midst of them." How near he is! There standeth one among you whom ye know not. You see him not. But he is passing by, and you are to cry to him. Blind sinner, you are to cry to him as blind Bartimaeus cried to him. "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," such a cry as would make the Savior of sinners to stand still. He was passing by. He saw the man. And not only that, he began to reveal himself to the man in a way that would be a foundation for the man's faith. For we gather that the conversation with his disciples was in the presence of the man who was born blind. And he was saying, in a revelation of himself, in a way suitable to the need of that man, verse 5, he said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." Oh, was that not glad tidings to the blind man? What a suitable Savior. "I am the light of the world." And so it is, friend, with regard to the opening of the eyes of the souls of any sinner. Is it not in connection with this? Christ, the light of the world, coming. Christ, the light of the world, beginning the work. Christ, the light of the world, coming. Coming by his grace, coming in his power, and coming in the gospel to reveal himself and saying, "I am the light of the world." How suitable to you who are in darkness, feeling your darkness, feeling your blindness, feeling how you do not understand these things, feeling so ignorant of the way of salvation. It's still a question with you: what must I do to be saved? I cannot see Christ. I cannot understand these things. And he is saying to you tonight, "I am the light of the world." A suitable revelation of Christ. How Christ holds himself out in these ways to sinners. It is very wonderful. Friend, are you feeling shut out? He is saying then to you, "I am the door." Are you feeling shut out from the company of the people of God, shut out from the favor of God, shut out from the fold of the sheep? Christ says to you, "I am the door." Are you feeling lost, like a lost sheep gone astray? You cannot find your way back. You are in the ways of sin, having turned everyone to your own way. You cannot find the way back. He is saying to you, "I am the good shepherd." Are you dead and without strength and perishing? He says, "I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven, which if a man eat, he will live forever." You are saying, "I'm withered and without any life, without spiritual life." And he is saying to you, "I am the vine. I am the source of all supplies of grace. I am the source of all spiritual life. Withered, dead branch, I have life to give to you." And if it's this aspect of your need that you are feeling, your blindness, your ignorance, he is saying to you, "I am the light of the world." And it is his intervention. It is his work as the light of the world. It is his work in effectual calling, in giving spiritual eyesight, in his regenerating work, and in his enshining of light on the word, on himself into the mind. It is in that way that he opens the eyes of the blind. "Unless you are born again," he said to Nicodemus, "you cannot see the kingdom of God." What accounts for this? Being able to say, "I once was blind, But now I see it's nothing less than the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ, sent by him as the light of the world, the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings, the bright and the morning star, as he said, the sun rising or the day spring from on high, bringing an end to the night of darkness, of the estate of sin and misery, the darkness of spiritual death, the darkness of condemnation. Christ banishes it all. He is the bright and the morning star, bringing the night to an end, bringing in light. He does it by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. Are you wondering why it is that you cannot see, why you've been so long perhaps seeking salvation in the means at times, seeking to go in, as it were, to the pool of Bethesda. Others go down before you. You find you cannot believe, you cannot see these things. Friend, unless you're born again, you will never see. You must be born again. Although it is equally true that we must remember that though the Savior taught that lesson to Nicodemus, he in the same address to him directed him to his duty to look. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, he said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You are to look, look ye blind, that ye may see. We do not confound ability with responsibility. We hold that man by nature has no ability to believe, but we maintain he has a responsibility to believe, to use all the means available in order to that. So the Savior taught Nicodemus, you must be born again. You're going to see if your eyes are to be opened. But yet, I am lifted up, look to me. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. They look to him, and lightened were, not shamed were their faces. This poor man cried, God heard, and saved him from all his distresses. You are to look to Christ as the Israelites in the camp, bitten by the serpent, were to look. That was what brought salvation to them. A look to the serpent lifted up in the pole, not pouring over their wounds, that they needed to know they were wounded indeed before they would look. But it was not pouring over their wounds that would heal their wounds. It was not their trying to apply various balms and plasters to their wounds that would heal their wounds. It was looking, looking to the pole, and the serpent lifted up in the pole. That's where salvation is. Look, ye blind, that ye may see. You are looked to Christ. You are to look to a crucified Christ, held up in the pole of the everlasting gospel, who was lifted up in the cross in his death. It is there that your duty is, to be looking to him. Now, we might consider this aspect also with regard to the man's own experience. It is true that, objectively speaking, what came in between the man being able to say, I once was blind, but now I see, was Christ coming to him as the light of the world. But he, as we've noted, has been asked to give some account of this. They began to ask him that in the 10th verse. They said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? So they're asking him here again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? What is your experience of it? How opened he thine eyes? Well, there was much that he could not say. Could he tell them just how the miracle was performed? Could he tell them how it was that the power of Christ opened the eyes and resolved the blindness in his eyes? No, he could not give an answer to that. He could not be too precise, and so it may be, dear friend, with regard to yourself and the opening of your eyes, if you are wondering, as you may be wondering, are your eyes open or not? Or if you do have a hope that your eyes are opened and this question is put to you, what account can you give of how your eyes were opened? It may well be that as much that you cannot say, there may be much confusion and uncertainty in your experience with regard to that matter. And indeed, with the work of regeneration, it is beneath the level of the sinner's consciousness. It is a secret, mysterious work, as the Savior said again to Nicodemus. He showed him how the work of the Holy Spirit and regeneration was a sovereign work, a mysterious work, and a powerful work. He said, the Spirit, the wind bloweth. The Spirit is being compared in his regenerating work to the wind. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. There is the sovereignty of the Spirit. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. There is the mysterious nature of it that cannot be too closely examined or discerned. But thou hearest the sound thereof. There is the power and the effects, which may be, it may be known by its effects, but we say with regard to just how the eyes are enlightened, just how the will is renewed, there is a difficulty, there is a mystery. You are not expected to be able to tell precisely. When asked, how opened he thine eyes? Ah, friend, some, it's true, may be more clear as to the way the Lord opened their eyes, but some are not so clear, not so clear as to the precise time when the opening of their eyes took place. That may be especially true of those whom the Lord dealt with when they were young, or those who were brought in gradually, as Lydia was brought in gradually. They might find it difficult to determine precisely when it was that the Lord opened their eyes. That would be true also of those who, when awakened, were sometime under the common strivings of the Spirit, and in that experience brought to seek the Lord and brought to be earnest in the means, and experiencing at times the power of the Word, and then going back perhaps to the world, and like the man who was coming to Christ, when he was yet a coming, the devil cast him down and tear him. Not so easy perhaps then just to be certain when the common operations of the Spirit became the saving operations. That's not to say there is not a great difference, there is. But it may not be so easy in the experience of some to say just when it was that he opened their eyes. Some, again, might, in the matter of the opening of their eyes, not be able to give a specific truth which the Lord used in the bringing them to the liberty of the gospel. Some have that, it is true. Their experience seems to be clearer. They could give a more definite account when the question is asked, how opened he thine eyes? And they can say, remember, Lord, the gracious word thou to thy servant spake, which for a ground of my sure hope thou causest me to take. Reverend Neil Cameron, the night when the Lord brought him to the liberty of the gospel after much time in darkness, and indeed feeling great difficulties in regard to finding Christ and believing in God for the pardon of sin, he had prayed to the Lord that night a prayer. He asked that the Lord would reveal himself as a sin-pardoning God to his guilty soul. A good prayer. He asked the Lord to reveal himself to his soul as a sin-pardoning God, the way God, in his sovereign grace, chose to answer that prayer. Was at family worship that night. Reverend Neil Cameron was given a view of the glory of Christ in the Scriptures, not through one particular truth, but from Genesis to Revelation, he saw the glory of a crucified Christ shining out in the pages of Scripture. His eyes were opened. So that is not in the experience of all that they can say and lay their finger on a particular truth, though some of the people of God have that. Well, suffice to say, there is much which perhaps cannot be said. Great confusion, great darkness with regard to the work, so much so that you might, were my eyes ever opened at all. Uncertainty with regard to whether the Lord ever did open your eyes. Perhaps if you cannot discern a law work, cannot discern what others speak of as a law work, you might be all the more perplexed and uncertain and shaken in this when asked, how were thine eyes opened? You find a difficulty there. But as we commonly used to hear, if you were shown your need of Christ, you were convinced of your sin. The degree of law, terror, and alarm that surrounds it varies greatly in the Lord's sovereignty. But in every case, it is true that all who come to Christ must be convinced of their sin. But as one was saying, though your conviction of sin, sense of conviction of sin would be like a fly on the back of your hand. If it leads you to Christ, it is enough. You have been convinced if you feel your need of him. A man with a fly in the back of his hand would not rest till that fly was off his hand. And if the Lord showed you that you were a lost and ruined sinner, though it was accompanied with a calm persuasion of that truth, and indeed you may have desired and longed that you would feel more alarm and more anxiety than you do, that, if it made you feel your need of Christ, is evidence of the Spirit's work in convincing of sin. Well, many things we say that might be shrouded in confusion and darkness with regard to this question, but there were some things we see that he could say. Verse 11, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Can you not follow that? Though I cannot be precise about the miracle, though there are many things I cannot tell you, as you would ask me, how were thine eyes opened? Is it not true in your experience? It was in connection with a man that is called Jesus. It was bound up with Jesus. The Holy Spirit, friend, when he leads a soul first awakened to a concern about salvation, he will always, always, always lead that soul to Christ. He will point that sinner to Christ so that whatever darkness and confusion is in your experience, is this not in it, that you began to seek Jesus, your desire began to be, oh, that I knew where I might find him. Sirs, we would see Jesus. You became a seeker of Christ, and you had dealings with Christ. You were dealing with Christ. You were dealing with Christ at the throne of grace. Like blind Bartimaeus dealing with Christ, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Are you crying, friend, to Christ, you who cannot say tonight, whether your eyes are opened or not, or you it may be, who know fine well that your eyes are not opened. This is where the opening of the eyes of the soul will be found, in dealing with Jesus, the light of the world. This much he can tell about, this much he knows. A man called Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It is all in connection with Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And salvation at the end of the day, friend, is but this: believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And as long as Christ is not in your thinking, as long as Christ is not in your desires, as long as you are not coming to Christ and looking to Christ, your eyes will never be opened. A man that is called Jesus, well, he could speak about that, dealings with him. He could also speak of this, how he made clay and anointed his eyes. Now, at that point, I think it would be true that the blind man never felt so blind as when the clay was put in his eyes. And strange to say, it may be in your encounters, Christ dealing with your soul, that he is making you feel your blindness all the more. He is making you feel your sin all the more, your need all the more, so that it may well be at that point when he opened your eyes, you never felt so sinful. You never felt so dark and confused. One of the old worthies in the north used to say, when seeking soul did you find Christ? And he would reply, just when you thought you would never find him. Just when you thought you would never find him. He put clay in his eyes. He made him feel as never before, his blindness, his inability. I must believe. I can't believe. But then he could also tell this about the opening of his eyes, that he was directed by Jesus to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. There was a means that he was directed to use. And he could say, I went and I washed and I received sight. I obeyed the direction that Jesus gave. I went to the pool of Siloam, I washed there, and I went and I received my sight. That's all I can say. It was in the use of the means. He was diligent in the means. And is that not true with yourself? In the opening of your eyes, that you were brought to be diligent in the means of grace. You were brought to seek Christ. In his word, you began to seek him. You began to seek him at the throne of grace. You began to seek him in the preaching of the word. You would go to communion season seeking Christ there. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Faith cometh by hearing, we are told, hearing by the word of God. And a sure sign of a soul that is truly seeking Christ is that you will be diligent in the means of grace. You will be seeking him in the means of grace. Are you here at this communion season seeking Christ? Seeking to see Jesus, seeking that your eyes would be opened. It's there, friend, in the diligent use of the means that Christ is to be found. That's true for the sinner seeking Christ at first. It's true for the believer seeking fresh meetings with Christ. If you know not where you'll find him, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids by the shepherd's tents and the public means of grace. Well, he could say that he went to the pool of Siloam, he washed. The means of grace are like the pool of Siloam. But there is to be washing. Sin, is that not showing that sin is the root of his blindness. He needs to be washed, not his own personal sin in particular, but the general result of the fall. And so it is that with regard to the opening of our eyes, with regard to the salvation of our souls, it is when, in the means of grace, we would come to wash in the pool, to wash in the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness, to be washed in the blood of Christ by faith, to seek to lay hold on him, to seek to come to him, and you are to attempt to thus come to Christ. Well, it was in the means of grace. Can you not say it was there that your eyes were opened, in the reading of the word, in the hearing of the word preached? You know it was in connection with these things, with the diligent use of these means, that the Lord opened your eyes. I went and washed, and I received sight. But we have this finally, briefly, in the third place. Whatever is true of what he could say with regard to the time of his eyes being opened, whatever he could say with regard to the way that the Lord took in opening his eyes, he is being further questioned, and questioned indeed in a way that would tend to make him doubt whether was it the real Christ you had there, casting doubt on his experience. Was it really the true Messiah who opened your eyes or not? It is in a way of assault upon him that these questions are being asked of him. But this much he can fall back on. He can say, one thing I know, for as I was blind, now I see. Even if I can't tell you much and can't get over the difficulties in how mine eyes were opened, this much I know. For as I was blind, now I see. And there is such a thing as one not being able to gain a satisfactory answer to whether their eyes were opened or not by examining their experience in effectual calling. What then? You are to examine yourself in light of the word of God as to the present evidences of grace as you are now. One thing I know, for as I was blind, now I see. One way of looking at it is this. Can you say this? As one man said it, I'm not what I should be. I'm not what I desire to be. I'm not what I will be. But I have to say, I'm not what I was. I once was blind, but now I see. Are you seeing something in Christ that you did not see before? Are you seeing something in him? Do you desire Christ? Do you desire Christ, friend, to save you from your sin as well as to save you from the wrath and the curse of God? Are you seeing something, beauty in Christ, that makes him desirable to you? Is your language one thing I of the Lord desire and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I may within God's house remain, that I the beauty of the Lord behold may and admire, and that I in his holy place may reverently inquire, friend, of that prayer is in your heart, your eyes have been opened. You are seeing beauty in Christ that you did not see before in the days of your ignorance. And do you abhor yourself? Do you abhor yourself? Can you say you abhor yourself? Are you mourning an account of your sin? Well, is that not an evidence of your eyes being opened? How do you prove that, you might say? I prove it from this. Job said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. a sight of Christ turned Daniel's comeliness into corruption. And if you are feeling yourself to be a mass of corruption from head to foot, if you are abhorring yourself, it is evidence of this. Your eyes have been opened. One thing I know, for as I was blind, now I see. The present evidence. Thomas Boston says, if a man didn't see the sun rising above the horizon in the morning, and he was to establish later on whether the sun had arisen, how would he establish it? Well, he would look up into the sky. He could see the sun there, and you are to examine yourself as to the evidences of those whose eyes have been opened. One thing I know, for as I was blind, now I see. Perhaps you're saying, I see men as trees walking. And you can go no further than that. As one man did, upon whom Christ was working, I see men, he said, as trees walking. What was true of that man? Christ touched him again and gave him more light. If it is not a satisfactory resolution to the question with you whether your eyes have been opened or not, what are you to do? You are to look to him again and again and again. They looked to him and lightened were. Then shall you know, if you follow on to know the Lord. You come to Christ again and again, as the light of the world, to give you more light, to give you more life. Go to him. It's not by looking within that you will resolve the matter. It is by looking out to him, who is the light of the world, who passeth by, and the sinner's door is open to all. The sinner's door is open to the believer. The sinner's door is open to the chief of sinners here tonight. The sinner's door is open to those who are uncertain as to whether their eyes were opened or not. You are to go to him, go forth to behold him in the chariot of the gospel, and who is saying to you tonight, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. May the Lord bless his word, we shall pray. O Lord, that thou wouldst give us grace to understand the way of salvation. Thou open our eyes indeed. Open mine eyes, that of thy law the wonders I may see. Do thou give us grace to call upon thy name, to say as others did, deliver thou my soul, O God, I do thee humbly pray. And we would get a view of Christ. Our eyes would be enlightened in the knowledge of Christ. We would behold and admire the beauty of the Lord. Do thou be pleased, blessed one, to accompany thine own word and ordinances. With thy blessing, may thy presence be with us at this communion season. And all the glory there would be a defense, give help in every duty, in speaking and in hearing, in partaking of the sacrament, prepare thy people. Thou wouldst prepare their hearts, and bless us, take us home in safety, pardon all our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen.